What's going on, everybody? This is Nico, and you are listening to yet another edition of your favorite podcast in the whole wide world. This is the Nico Show for Wednesday, March 13th, 2019, the year of our Lord and the podcast of our Nico. How are you, everybody? It's been a little while. Sorry that I'm behind schedule, but I was choosing my spot for this week's podcast. I wanted to wait and let the topics build. I wanted the news to trickle down and amass into a beautiful trash heap of podcast fodder. And I think it's safe to say that this week's Nico Show is worth the wait, ladies and gentlemen. We have a lot to get to on a Wednesday, a shocking amount of news for me to pontificate on this week. Can't wait to get into all the NFL free agency stuff. We're talking college bribes, celebrity college bribing scandals. Oh my God, so tasty. I'm salivating over the prospect. Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman. Don't you worry, we'll get to all of it right around the corner. But first, how the hell are you, everybody? How have you been? I've missed you, my friends. I've missed you so dearly. It's good to be with you again. I've been kind of sick. I've been soldiering on and doing these podcasts anyway, but I didn't do a Nico Show last week because I thought I had the flu and then didn't have the flu. Other members of my family had the flu, so I just sort of assumed the worst, and the worst was not correct because I got well within a few days. But for the last couple of weeks, there's been a few small medical emergencies, people in and out of the hospital. It's been a whole thing. We're done, though. The dust has settled. I believe I am a clean bill of health, and I am ready to now go to Phoenix, Arizona, where I am taking a vacation this week. We're just going. My buddy Alex Lawson, who has been on this podcast before, former co-host of the Storied Think Tank podcast, calls me up a few weeks ago and is like, bro, let's take a trip somewhere. I have a week off and some cash to blow. And I said, well, I have a lot of weeks off because I'm unemployed and I have no cash to blow because I'm also unemployed, but fuck it. Let's get a plane ticket immediately. Where do you want to go? And within 2 hours, we settled upon Phoenix, Arizona. Why? I'm still not quite sure. It's warm. That I know for a fact. That was the main selling point. It was somewhere south of here. And it's cold as hell here, still, in mid-March. The signs of spring are beginning to emerge, but man, I could not wait to get out of the cold weather. So we're going on a plane to Phoenix. I don't know what's there. Phoenix homies, hit me up. If you're out there in the ARZ, what do they call that? Whatever the zip code is in Arizona, hit me up. Holler at your boy. Let me know what I should be doing. And if you want to meet up, that's cool too. We'll go be warm together somewhere. Because again, that's all we're going to be doing all week, is drinking and getting warm. So, tell me what's in Arizona. Here's what I'm excited about. And I am 100% sincere when I say this. I am not joking. I'm excited to see a fucking cactus. I can't wait. I truly can't wait. I was thinking about this over the past week. I've never been to a desert. I've watched a million westerns. I watched the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote running through a canyon. I've watched a lot of deserts on TV and on film. I've never been to one. I've spent my whole life on the East Coast. It's all swampy over here. It's a lot of woods. I live in Connecticut with authors that take a lot of LSD. There's no barren wasteland out here. It's just trees, nothing but green. I want to see a desert. And that's what Phoenix is, right? It's like a desert. I'm going to be able to walk out there and there'll be like cactuses and cobras and scorpions and tarantulas and lots of sand and dirt, vast expanses. for miles and miles of just nothingness. I can't wait. I can't wait. And we're going to do the Grand Canyon. That's what you're supposed to do when you're in Arizona. And it's like 3 hours north of Phoenix or whatever. So we're going to make the drive and we're going to do the hike and we're going to take the touristy photos and I'm going to pretend to push Alex off the edge and it's going to be a great time. Can't wait for the Grand Canyon. Everyone I've ever spoken to about the Grand Canyon speaks glowingly about it. It's like the least overrated thing in the world, according to them. Right? You would assume that it's overrated. You would assume that it's just another hole in the ground that you can just Google image search and you get the idea. But these people will always tell you that it's an out-of-body experience. They're like, I look down the expanse of the canyon and I saw the face of God. That's what they all say. And I'm ready for it. I am going in with incredibly high expectations that have only been made higher. There's never been anybody in my life, and I know several people that have been to the Grand Canyon. Not one of them has been like, eh, sort of overrated. You can skip it. Not worth your time. Not worth the drive. Get a postcard, turn around, and go home. There's not been a single one. So y'all better come through. This canyon better be the most fucking awesome thing I've ever seen. But anyway, I'm excited for that. I am not nearly as excited for that giant hole as I am just that one lane highway that runs for 1,000 miles through the Wild West. You know, I can't wait for that feeling of pretending to be a lover on the run in a 90s action movie. Random cactus, random salamander off the side of the road. No one for miles and miles. No life in sight. I can't wait for the desert. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. Regardless, if there's anything else I should be doing in Phoenix, please get a hold of us. We're not going to like see a Phoenix Suns game. So that's out the window. We might hit up some spring training. This is another reason why we're going, is they're doing the West Coast baseball spring training games in Phoenix this year. And I guess every year. So we're going to check that out. We'll be able to see Manny Machado for the Padres in a Padres uniform on the ground in Phoenix. But seriously, like, let us know if there's anything else to do, because I don't get the sense there's a ton of people out there. Anyway, yeah, that is Friday. I leave Friday. I'll be doing a travel log. Be on the lookout for that. Where do we want to go here? Oh, I have a story. I have a little story. This happened last week. There are times in my life when I realize I am too helpful. I don't know if you're this type of personality, but I am definitely this type of personality. And I'm not saying this in a braggadocious way. Like, I'm a sap. I'm a pushover. I'm a pansy. If you come up to me on the street, you might as well have found a genie in a bottle, because your wish is my command. Anything you want. I can't say no to people. And that's a bad thing. The older I get, the more I realize that's a terrible quality to have. If you are too helpful. Because when you're too helpful, you become a slave to people. And they don't stop asking you for things. They only start asking you for more things. And it's a really bad quality. Learn to put your foot down. That would be my advice to a child listening to this podcast. Maybe he has some thick-rimmed glasses. He's in the ninth grade. He's a little on the pudgy side. He's pretty good in English class and in math, but is not really a gym class hero. Perhaps he plays the trumpet and he lives in suburban Connecticut. I'm not describing anyone in particular. I'm just saying, if you're that kid listening, learn to tell people to fuck off and tell them to mind their own goddamn business and quit asking you for shit. because it's not great. But regardless, I'm a 23-year-old adult male now, and I have grown into a slave, an indentured servant, let's say. My aim is to please, and I will help anyone and everyone that asks for my assistance. I'm at McDonald's this week. I had to get an order right in the middle of lunch hour. I was bringing lunch to other people, and there was a giant line in the drive-thru. Normally, I go through the drive-thru, but fine, we'll walk in. And there was also a giant line inside. But if you've been to a McDonald's within the last few years, and if you don't live in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, you will understand that McDonald's is beginning to industrialize, even more so than they were previously. The idea of the cashier is becoming obsolete. McDonald's now has a number of giant touchscreens where customers can place their order. It's all a plan for the robots to take over. The future is here. Resistance is futile. Just go with it, people. You can't go up to the McDonald's counter and order a McFlurry anymore. It's really too bad. anyway, so we're at McDonald's, and there's a massive line, and I am about to place my order on the giant touchscreen that has taken away a minimum wage worker. and there's a guy who is clearly very confused who asks me for his help in ordering a fillet of fish. So I'm like, all right, sure, buddy, I'll help you out. And we spend some time and I walk him through the process because he's significantly older than I am. And whatever, man, like I'm young. This is the cross that I must bear. Someday I hope that a 20-something will provide me the same assistance when I'm having problem with my VR machine, right? So I'm helping him out, and we finish the order, and now it's my turn to use the touchscreen, and another woman overhears us and says, would you mind helping me now? Now, what I probably should have said in hindsight was, yes, give me a second, ma'am. Let me put my order in first. But that's not what I do. Because again, I am a doormat. I am what you wipe your feet all over. If you need my help, I'm here to clean off the bottom of your sneakers. So I go and help this woman out too. And we're there for about 5 minutes. And now I'm ready. Time to put in the order. And wouldn't you know it, all the touchscreens are filled up again because I've just spent my time hopping from customer to customer. As, might I add, the McDonald's worker, who is clearly in charge of the touchscreens, whose job it is to facilitate this process and to make sure there are no bumps in the road, she's just standing around doing nothing. So I am now doing this woman's job for her. And I'm helping the McDonald's Corporation, who has saved thousands upon thousands of dollars by firing their cashiers. So this is really getting preposterous. And it's time to put my foot down. After all, I'm a paying customer too. I deserve a lunch as much as the rest of these people. But of course, it didn't end there. A third woman who had just watched me help two other people with their orders has the gall to ask for my help. The unbridled gall of these people. I understand they're confused. And this woman is clearly of Asian descent. She didn't speak great English. She sort of spoke with a broken tongue. And that's whatever, man. Look, I could not imagine moving to China or Japan and, you know, adapting to their language on the fly with no assistance. Like, if I was in a Japanese McDonald's with no translator, no working knowledge of the Japanese language, I could not imagine how long it would take to order a large fry. I'd be there for an hour. So I sympathize with this woman, and I was happy to help. But, like, lady, do you see a name tag on this lapel? Am I wearing a red and yellow uniform? Am I singing ba-da-ba-ba-ba? I'm loving it. What about this situation makes it look like I work here? Because I don't. And all three of you are now holding up my lunch order. And it's so funny because I got back. I was bringing several lunches back to my family. And they immediately asked, what took you so long? And I had to explain to them, well, now I am owned and operated by the McDonald's Corporation. I have entered into indentured servitude. And those overlords now control me. I have a 9 a.m. shift tomorrow. Oh, man. Sometimes. It is. I want to know if anyone else out there has found themselves in similar situations. Because this has happened multiple times. I guess this is the cross that we must bear by being competent members of society in a world surrounded by incompetent people. Or just being young, I guess. Maybe that's just what it is. Maybe it's just being young, because all of these people were older. And old people, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad for old people. The world is changing too quickly for them. And they're not dying off fast enough. I feel too bad. This one woman, the second woman that I was helping, as we walked through the payment process for her McDouble, I think, was like, you know, back in the day, I used to walk home from school. My dad would give me a nickel and I could buy like 3 cheeseburgers with that nickel. And now it's like $2.99. She's telling me about the glory days of Mickey D's. Oh, does anybody else do this? Does anybody else find themselves an employee of an establishment that they're a customer in? This happens all the time. Walmart. People are confused where the soap is in Walmart, and I got to point them in the right direction. I don't know why they're asking me. Maybe it's just my trusting face. I have a very trustworthy face. It's not like I'm going to lie to them. Send them in the soup aisle instead. Ugh. Mickey D's. 10 minutes, I swear to God. 10 minutes helping people out. Not exaggerating. Let's take a break. Then we're going to talk about football. And boy, oh boy, do I have some thoughts. The world of New York, the city in which I've decided to plant my flag sports-wise, has been making tons of weird moves over the past 24 hours. We're going to talk about the Le'Veon Bell and Odell Beckham Jr. situations after this musical break. Stick around. Nico's show will be right back. I should have played Cleveland Rocks just to taunt the Giants fans in my life. Oh, shoot. I blew it. Damn it. Yeah, whatever. Can't go wrong with Billy Joel in a New York state of mind. You know, you guys deserve it. You all deserve everything that you're getting. You do. You privileged Giants fans, you. Making fun of Anthony Barr. Like, you got some gall, man. Don't pretend that you don't suck, too. That's the thing about Giants fans. They're the most delusional franchise in, I think, all of sports. By a mile, right? They got a lot of nerve. Making fun of Jets fans as though they're any better. Because why? You have 6 Super Bowls to fall back on? Big fucking whoop. What have you done lately? Your quarterback is like 45. My 15-year-old sister throws a tighter spiral than Eli Manning. Knock it off, man. Quit pretending that you don't suck too. You won like 6 games last year. You were in last place in your division. Stop it. Stop. For the past 3 years, both the Giants organization, and I mean the front office and the coaching staff, along with their fan base, has perpetuated this lie that somehow Eli Manning can still win a Super Bowl. It's a bold-faced lie. And the New York sports media and the front office and the Giants fans are all in on the conspiracy. And you fooled yourselves. You guys are not worthy of Odell Beckham Jr. You should have traded him away 2 years ago. When you've been living a bold-faced lie for the past 3 years, and then the cold, hard truth comes around and smacks you in the face, it's gonna sting a little bit. Get used to the sting, Giants fans. Get used to it. You were never legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Your premise was flawed. And by the way, you fired Tom Coughlin on this flawed premise. You hired Ben McAdoo on this flawed premise. You drafted Saquon Barkley on this flawed premise. You thought you had the roster to win now because you're the New York Football Giants. You're not the lowly tanking Jets who drafted Sam Darnold third overall. Who needs Sam Darnold? Who needs Josh Rosen? Who needs Josh Allen? Who needs Baker Mayfield? We got the 39-year-old Eli Manning for the next 3 years. Behind the worst offensive line in football. You guys make me sick. I am so tired of Giants fans. I am sick and tired of the elitism, the delusion. I'm sick of getting scoffed at by the New York sports media because we're the incompetent organization in town. At least we're comfortable with who we are. We're the Jets. We haven't won a Super Bowl in 50 years. We haven't had a franchise quarterback since Joe Willie. We suck. And the only way to stop sucking is to fucking tank. It's not that difficult. Tear it down. Rebuild again. That's how you succeed in professional sports. It's what grown-ups do, Giants fans. It's what grown-ups do. Acquire draft picks, clear the salary room, scrap your quarterback, get a young kid in there, and build for the future. But no, you're the Giants. You have to win now. You can't throw away a season. You deserve this. You should have taken Sam Darnold second overall. I don't know what to tell you, but your loss is our gain. We know who we are. We're comfortable with who we are. And we were rewarded for it this week. And by the way, what makes me so happy, it brings me so much joy, the Anthony Barr thing happens. For those that are not obsessed with the New York sports media as much as I am, Anthony Barr, former linebacker of the Minnesota Vikings, was slated to sign with the New York Jets in free agency. The terms were laid out. All you had to do was sign on the dotted line, Anthony Barr. At the last second, he gets cold feet, decides to return to Minnesota on a new four-year deal. And my God, did all of my Giants fans, all my Giant fan friends, come out of the woodwork on this one. Oh, I got mocked. And I'm talking about Mike Costantini specifically. I'm taking names, motherfucker. Brian Dostler, there's another one. Oh, you were salivating over the opportunity. You could not wait to jump on me for this one. What a classic Jet move. Got stood up on prom night. Anthony Barr and the New York Jets. I was ready. I was ready to take the hits. Because I am willing to die on the cross of gangrene, if that's what it means. I was ready to take the blows. I'm a man. I know who the Jets are. And I can make fun of myself, and I have no delusions about who we are. You deserve losing Odell Beckham Jr. You deserve getting 10 cents on the dollar for him. And you deserve every Sunday, as your team is like 4-12 on the year. You deserve to watch Odell and Baker Mayfield in the AFC Championship game. You deserve all that is coming to you. You're no longer big man on campus. You're just like us. Yeah, that's right. You are no better than the lowly New York Jets. You are no better, G-men. Because now you're tanking too. Except we're 2 years ahead of you. Because we got our quarterback already. We're already building for the future. We already have money to spend in free agency. We've already acquired draft picks. What do you have? A $15 million second-year running back behind the worst offensive line in football? And a quarterback that looks like he's about to have a heart attack on the field? Oh, really? That's what you have. I'm so scared. Now that that's out of my system. I love football. I love football so much. How great is this? How great... Football literally steals the news cycle away from the NBA. It's a pretty crucial time for basketball. Playoffs are right around the corner. These teams on the brink of the playoff bubble are fighting for those last few spots. Golden State might lose the one seed. Kevin Durant is hurt. What's up with the Celtics? Kyrie Irving in free agency. It's a big time of the year to be an NBA fan. And the NFL says, fuck it. It's March. You know you missed us. Here's a small dosage of football for your Tuesday evening. Football dominated social media last night. Dominated the sports press last night. Dominated ESPN. NBA. March Madness. Fuck that shit. Odell Beckham Jr. is a Cleveland Brown. That's power, man. That is power. College basketball? Seriously, if you gave me the option last night, do you want to watch 2 hours of the NFL Network in the midst of high free agency drama? Or do you want to watch the Big Ten championship game? Or whatever the the college basketball divisions are. Which would you rather watch on a Tuesday night? I think it's night and day. It is not even close. Inject the NFL straight into my veins. I eat it up. I drink your milkshake, NBA. That's what the NFL was saying last night. I guess we should talk about Le'Veon Bell, shouldn't we? Yeah, let's do this. The news broke late last night. Of course, I was up. And I was quick to wake my father up and break the news at 12:30 a.m. Talked to Andre about it, too. We had a fruitful discussion in the middle of the night about the future of the New York Jets. The Odell news was just beginning to wear off by that point. That was the thing, right? So I hadn't quite recovered from that bombshell. I have made it clear, and I said this, I think, on the podcast. I didn't want Bell. And I certainly didn't want Bell at the price he wanted. And I am happy to see that it was a fairly modest deal that we gave him. 4 years, $13 million per year. Look, I'm not nearly as excited by this news as I should be. And I get this, right? We just signed a massive superstar. Le'Veon Bell could be the biggest name the Jets have landed since, what, Brett Favre? It's a huge deal. We have not had this dynamic of an offensive player, this big a name, this high profile of a star, never. And we now have a top five running back in the league, perhaps top two or three running back in the league, depending on what shape he is in after a year off. So I should be excited by this. Here's what I know, though, to be true. As much as I want to fool myself, and as delusional as I sometimes can be about the New York Jets, Le'Veon Bell is not going to change the identity of this team all that much. He's just not that important of a player. He's a running back, and running backs are not nearly as significant as offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and quarterback. It's the bottom line, right? We will live and die on the strength of our offensive line, our defensive line, and Sam Darnold. If Sam Darnold is the legitimate franchise quarterback that we suspect he can be, we'll be fine. Le'Veon Bell will aid in his development, but he won't turn Sam Darnold into a franchise quarterback overnight. And by the way, if our offensive line can't block for Le'Veon Bell, forget about it. Forget about it. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not the type of runner that Saquon Barkley is. Frankly, he's not as talented a running back as Saquon Barkley is. This signing will not fix the deficiencies in our offensive line. We have shown an inability to both pass block and run block for the better part of a decade. And this signing will not change that. It will only make those deficiencies more evident. I see this as a nice piece at a pretty good price. I'm not outraged by the price. I'm okay with $13 million a year. And this piece will aid in the development of our young quarterback, because that kid so desperately needs weapons. And this is a pretty good weapon to have. You know, Jamison Crowder, Quincy Enunwa, and Robbie Anderson are just not going to cut it. He needs some more help. And Le'Veon Bell, whether you like him or not, is one of the 5 to 10 most gifted offensive players in the league. And he will take the burden off of Sam immensely in a very pivotal time in his career. But this does not transform us into a playoff team. The roster that I see, unless Sam takes a giant leap in the next 365 days, unless he becomes Andrew Luck, which he could be. I mean, the upside is certainly there. I don't know if he's Andrew Luck, but we drafted him thinking that he could turn our entire team around, that he could win football games without help. So if he takes on that burden this season and becomes an elite NFL starting quarterback, then maybe we're onto something. Right, okay, then maybe we're a playoff team. Le'Veon Bell, though, has nothing to do with it. This is a nice luxury piece. This is not a franchise-changing move. And that's why the Jets only paid $13 million a year for him. That's why no other team in football actively pursued him. I think that's what we also learned this week. The market value on Le'Veon Bell was significantly lower than expected. Sitting out a year was not a great move. He only hurt his value. He did not help it. He wanted a record-breaking deal for a running back, and he's only, what, the second highest paid running back in the league behind Todd Gurley? Ravens didn't want him. Packers didn't want him. Bills didn't want him. Well, the Jets got him. I don't know, man. I'm supposed to be excited. I'm not. I'm not delusional about this. We'll see. We'll see what happens. The Anthony Barr thing still stings a bit. Still stings. But we got CJ Mosley from the Ravens, and I'm very happy about that signing, even though we kind of overpaid. That was a good move for us, no doubt. We'll see. Oh, football. So much fun. Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure to follow year-round. Can't wait for the draft. Yo, what happened with Aunt Becky, bro? What's up with your girl, Aunt Becky? What the hell happened? What's going on? Paying for SAT scores? What the fuck? Yo, this is the craziest story. This story is so nuts. When I saw this, I could not wait to hop on mic and talk about it. This is crazy. So Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman both arrested for wire fraud this week. They were part of a massive sting involving several high-profile stars, CEOs, and entrepreneurs who paid to get their children into schools of their choosing. Whoa. Felicity Huffman paid upwards of, what is it, $250,000? Something along those lines? I don't know the exact price. Paid to get her daughter's SAT scores up? And then Lori Loughlin, half a mil to get her two daughters into USC. Yo. What is it about USC? Are you that fixated? Did you want to go that bad? It's nothing but douchey kids that go to USC, by the way. It's like a state school. They couldn't get in on their own merit. And two, if they couldn't get in on their own merit, why not send them somewhere else? Like, I don't get it. You have the money to bribe the admissions officer. Why don't you have the money to send out 10,000 college applications? Why does it got to be USC? This is so confusing. Why? Here's another question. Why not just give your kids the half a mil and say, fuck school. Go do your own thing. Travel Europe for a few years. You're set for life. I'm a major Hollywood actress. You don't need USC. I'll buy you a tutor. I'll get you a library card. Like, what's the obsession here? I don't get this at all. I don't get the need for the fraud. I truly don't understand it. Like, I always suspected, obviously, this goes on everywhere. Obviously, this happens all the time. This is only a sliver of the real fraud that happens on a daily basis. But my understanding is that for centuries, parents have donated to independent universities. They've gotten a library named after them. And then the children get into the school because the admissions process is lenient. But those donations are out in the open. They're public. And so it's not considered fraud. Like, that's been happening for decades, probably centuries. The admissions process has never been transparent. Why not just donate to a fucking library on campus? Why not just have them name a wing or a building after you? This is Lori Loughlin Lane, smack dab in the middle of USC. Everyone knows what's going on. Why you have to pay half a mil to some shady snake oil salesman behind closed doors? Like, what is the need for the backroom dealing here? I don't get it. And also, why USC? What is the obsession with USC? I looked up the student body size. University of Southern California. 19,000 people go to USC. That's not, like, a massive student body. It's, I'm sure, a fairly selective process. I'm sure the acceptance rate is not 50%. We're not talking about community college here. But you want to get in there that bad? It's not Harvard. It's not Yale. It's not Columbia. Go somewhere else. Why am I paying $500,000 only to pay an additional $50,000 out of pocket for tuition? It means that much to you? USC means that much to you. I am so baffled by this. I really am. I don't get what this is about. So they catch Felicity Huffman cheating on the SAT scores. I guess that her daughter got a 400-point bump on the SATs. Again, why not just, like, pay for a tutor? Pay for, like, the best SAT tutor. You can make it work. So she gets arrested for the SAT fraud. And then Aunt Becky from Full House, Lori Loughlin herself, half a mil she pays to get her two daughters accepted to USC on a crew scholarship. You know, crew, where it's a bunch of people in a boat, what the Winklevoss twins did in The Social Network? You know that shit? They get in on a crew scholarship despite the fact that the two daughters never did crew. We're not on any crew team of any kind. Have probably never touched a paddle. You know? The only boat they've ever been on is their mom's private yacht. So, half a mil to get in on the crew scholarship. My only question on the matter, did they actually have to go through with the crew thing? Like, how far were they willing to go to cover up the lie? They're there on a crew scholarship. Did they have to attend practice? Could you imagine the crew coach who's not in on it? The two Laughlin girls show up to the swimming pool. All right, ladies, let's see what you got. Get in the pool. No, in the pool. In the pool. Get in the boat. Oh, shit. They're holding the oar upside down. It's just a stick trying to paddle this massive boat. Heave. Heave. Oh, bitch, you've never been on a rowing machine before. Never mind in a fucking kayak. Oh, man, that would be such a funny sight. Oh, this is a great SNL sketch. The Laughlin girls attempting to do crew to cover up the lie. Oh, my God, SNL should work on this immediately. Oh, this would be a great sketch. Oh, we didn't know swimming would be a prerequisite for this activity. I thought this was some sort of hairstyling thing. I thought I was on the hairstyling scholarship. Those poor little girls. Oh, they had no idea. Oh, it sucks to be a rich kid, doesn't it? Sucks to have a trust fund. The crew team. Oh, they should have made them go through with it. That would have been a great punishment. Just let the sting go for a few months, but force the girls to show up to crew practice and get heckled by the other crew players. Just these ripped chicks with all upper body strength. That's what I imagine crew people look like. I could be wrong. But women that do crew, I would assume, have pencil skinny legs and massive buys and tries. Because that's all they do. It's all upper body. I want to see those girls practice with the Laughlin sisters. I want to see the Laughlin sisters learn the proper rowing technique after they just got done with a quick 20 minutes on the treadmill. I want to see the Laughlin sisters, after a quick cup of coffee and a muffin from Starbucks, show up at the swimming pool with Helga. Man, it's so funny. It's such a funny story. It's such a joy laughing at rich people, isn't it? It's so fun. Why are you paying half a mil, man? Take a gap year. Take a gap year. Hire your daughter a tutor. Get her in with, like, one of your contacts. Like, that's the thing. Aren't you famous? Don't you have lots of friends? You can get her a job. You don't have to spend an exorbitant amount of money for a meaningless degree in sociology. SAT scores. This is also sort of the problem with the college process, right? We spend so much time, energy, and money on getting into school, and we don't actually evaluate the value of a degree, the worth of a degree. My God, SAT scores? I don't even remember my SAT score. I got in just fine. I could probably get into USC. My mom's a fucking makeup artist and my dad's a cabinet builder. Ugh, it's crazy. It's so crazy. Celebrities, man. My God, what a world. What a horrible world they must live in of just excess and privilege. Anyway, that's it. That's the Nico Show. I don't think I have anything else for you today. I do thank you for being here. I am going to try my absolute best to do a podcast while in Phoenix. So be on the lookout for that. I'll post it to this feed. The rest of the podcast will, for the most part, come out as usual. I've banked a Why Is This a Thing and Movie Hall of Fame to be released next week. Nick is taking care of all of that on social media. So give us a follow at @TMT_media on Twitter or at @TooManyThoughtsMedia on Instagram. That's where you can get the latest and greatest from the website, TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media for short. I'll be doing a cultured podcast probably around Friday. I think so, just to hold you over. Cultured coming Friday. Movie Hall of Fame coming out tomorrow. We're having a lot of fun on that podcast. Adam and I, if you are not familiar, discuss a year in cinema. The first 2 weeks were the years 1980 and 1987. This week, we're discussing the year 1995. Six films are nominated for induction into the Movie Hall of Fame, but at the end of the episode, Adam and I must come to a consensus which is most worthy of recognition. What was the best movie of that year? We've been having a lot of fun so far, and it seems like people are really into it. So I thank you for subscribing and listening along. You can vote on our polls for the Movie Hall of Fame on the Twitter site, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get yours. One last thing. This would mean a lot to me. We are trying to get this podcast, and I don't mean this one, I mean Movie Hall of Fame and Why Is This a Thing, on Rotten Tomatoes. This is our latest goal. Evidently, Rotten Tomatoes accepts podcasts now. So we do movie podcasts. We review recent movies. I think it would be kind of cool if you saw the review of Us listed as the Movie Hall of Fame on Rotten Tomatoes. I would love to affect the Rotten Tomatoes scores for some of the biggest Hollywood releases. I think it'd be an awesome idea. In order to do that, you have to have 200 reviews on iTunes, at least 200 reviews with an average rating of 4 stars. That's one of the criteria that Rotten Tomatoes lists. So please do us a huge, huge favor. If you listen or don't listen to any of those podcasts, go on your Apple Podcast app, do a search for Why Is This a Thing? Do a search for the Movie Hall of Fame. Click on each podcast and hit 5 stars. It would mean the absolute world to us. We have at least 200 listeners, if not more, listening each and every week on the Too Many Thoughts podcast feeds. So I know you're out there. It takes you 2 seconds. It's the easiest thing in the world. You don't have to leave a little blurb. If you'd like to, it'd be awesome. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. But if not, just hop on to iTunes, hop on to the Apple Podcast app, leave us a review, get us to 200. Once we're over the hump, it would mean a huge, huge deal to the Too Many Thoughts family. So again, Apple Podcasts, rate Why Is This a Thing and Movie Hall of Fame 5 stars. Until then, I think that's it. You know where to find us on social media. You know where to find us online. I'm Nico. I love you so very, very much. If you're in Arizona, again, let me know. I'd love to meet up with you. I'd love to find out what there is to do in the middle of the desert. Can't wait to see a cactus. It's going to be a rollicking good time. But until then, please come back, won't you? Because next time, here on the Nico Show, you, yes, you, will finally hear the story of Lord Steve. I'll see you then.